good evening and greetings to each of you this evening in the wonderful name of Jesus. That special man who was the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We are at the close of, getting to the close of the Holy Week. And I'm happy to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to wash away my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world. Praise God. The peril of lukewarmness. I invite you to turn to a very unusual beginning place for this message tonight, the book of Judges. Judges, the fifth chapter. We have the account of Deborah and Barak singing a song of great victory, that the Lord had won the battle for over Sisera and done many wonderful works for them, and they were singing a song. But in the middle of the song, there's a verse that really stands out in contrast. You wouldn't think of it of this phrase being in a song, but it is here. In Judges 5 and verse 23, "Curse ye Miraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord against the mighty. I appreciated that devotional meditation, Brother Art, and your prayer that we'd be active in the kingdom work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have a story of a group of people who were nonchalant in relation to the work of the Lord. I don't know if they didn't care. Didn't care that the enemies of God were encroaching upon them. I really don't know exactly what all they did, but they were cursed by the angel of the Lord for not being active in helping to win those battles. By way of introduction, the word peril means to expose to danger, injury, loss, or destruction. We're going to be talking about losing something this evening, which is as a result of becoming lukewarm and careless and indifferent and cold about the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for the remission of our sins. Lukewarmness then carries the thought of neither cold nor hot. A glass of water is fairly cold. I don't see any ice in it, but evidently it had ice in it. First of all, this evening, I'd like to talk a little bit about the possibility of lukewarmness. And I want to stress this truth to us in the beginning of this message tonight. Every one of us who have named the name of Christ, every one of us who have been born again, are a candidate to become lukewarm and indifferent, and to lose our first love. I will never forget it. One time I went to work quite a few years ago. I got out of my vehicle at our office, and I was walking from my truck into the office. And a young boy, about 15 years old, came walking real fast up to me. He said, "Hey, I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am." "Well, then I just became a Christian last night, and I decided I'm going to ask everybody I meet today, are you a Christian? Because I found the joy of the Lord." I'm bashful, you know. I'm Mennonite, and I'm a little bashful, and I don't like to ask too many personal questions to people. Every one of us are a candidate. Even the senior bishops and ministers are candidates for becoming lukewarm. Another illustration I share with you that I will also never forget, as long as I have a sound mind, the privilege of visiting in a neighboring church where I was trying to give Bishop help many years ago. Last night of revival meetings, Evangelist stood in the pulpit and he preached a powerful message with tears streaming down his cheeks because he had a burden for the souls of humanity. I heard on recording his daughter giving a testimony of her life story. And she said she asked her daddy one time, "Why do you always cry when you're preaching?" He said, "Because I'm fearful there's somebody in the audience who's going to hell. And it just makes me cry." Unbeknownst to his wife and his team members in his home church, one Sunday morning he stood up and he said, "I'm resigning from all my church responsibilities as bishop." He got discouraged. They were having some problems in the congregation. He got discouraged and resigned. But it didn't stop there, friends. That brother that preached the word of God so effectively and so powerfully with tears streaming down his face, in time, he left his wife, attended the hotel on a nightly basis, and then shacked up with another woman. Lukewarmness is a process, friends. This water's getting warmer. Little by little, this water will be warm till the end of the service, unless Jesus comes right directly. It's being conditioned by its environment. And that's exactly what lukewarmness is. We become like the people around us who are indifferent and cold. The possibility is for every one of us. Lukewarmness is a process. Lukewarmness is a result of being influenced by our environment. I already said that. So there is lying within the bosom of each one, every one of us, the possibility to be influenced by society and to become colder and more indifferent. And church life becomes secondary to us. And communion and feet washing and the holy kiss just don't mean what it used to mean, and so we don't practice it. Secondly, this evening, I'd like to take you on a little journey through Scripture and learn some lessons from some people who became or were lukewarm. And Miraz here is an example. Miraz was not just one person, it was a town, it was like a family of people, a collective group of people that decided they weren't going to go to war, they weren't going to help their fellow men, their fellow families in this warfare, they weren't going to help God. And I came across this clipping about Miraz. It reads like this, the author is unknown. "Curse ye Miraz, by whose authority? The angel of the Lord's. What has Miraz done? Nothing. Why then is Miraz to be cursed? Because he did nothing. What ought Miraz to have done? Come to the help of the Lord. Could not the Lord do without Miraz? The Lord did do without Miraz. Did the Lord sustain then any loss? No, but Miraz did. Is Miraz then to be cursed? Yes, and that bitterly. Is it a right that a man should be cursed for doing nothing? Yes, when he ought to do something. Who says so? The angel of the Lord. That servant which knew his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes." Luke 12:47. Who was this angel of the Lord? I'd like a response from you all, and not coming from the brother that heard me preach this message before. Who was this person who cursed Miraz? Who was it? You have a King James Bible? The translators of the King James Bible put a code in the Old Testament that every time you read about the angel of the Lord, and the Lord is in all capital letters, or the angel of God in all God is in all capital letters, it is referring to an appearance of Jesus Christ himself. Now, that's an interesting study in itself. But let me just give you one other example of that. Jesus said that to the Pharisees when he was here on earth 2,000 plus years ago, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see me in his day. And the Pharisees said, well, what are you talking about? You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham. Go back to the time when Abraham was to offer up his son Isaac. He was ready to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord from heaven, all capital letters, Lord, was Jesus, who provided a substitute for Abraham, for Isaac. You see, and so, yes, Jesus, Abraham had rejoiced when Jesus showed up on the scene back then. So this is Jesus who's saying, curse ye me rocks. Anybody here this evening who wants Jesus to curse you bitterly? Simply for doing nothing? Simply for not getting involved in the work of the church? There's that possibility. There is that possibility. It happened to Miraz. Nadab and Abihu would be another illustration, who offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, history would tell us that the high priest, God had given so many strict laws pertaining to Passover and the Day of Atonement that when 2 weeks prior to the Day of Atonement, the high priest would spend 2 full weeks in reading and refreshing his mind on all the laws that God said about that particular day, how it was to be carried out and done. Very strict rules, many of them. And so he would prepare himself for 2 weeks' time, reading and rereading and rereading and getting it down pat, probably taking notes and so forth, like us preachers do. But Nadab and Abihu, I don't know why all these laws are so important. That must have been a little bit their attitude. I don't know that it matters how we just light the fire. I don't know that that's so important. Well, that's getting a little careless, isn't it, in the work of the Lord? And we'll pick up on them at the end of the message. Lot was another man who witnessed Abraham's worship. He witnessed Abraham's worship. And I'm afraid sometimes in our plain churches, in our Anabaptist churches, we have people that are doing that very thing. They witness somebody else's worship, but they're not worshiping. Lot got very insensitive to moral issues as he lived there in that wicked city of Sodom. Very, very. He was conditioned to what was going on when he offered his own daughters to those evil, evil men who came from all four quarters of the city. We shake our heads, and yet the New Testament says he was a righteous man. We'll leave that all with God. But Lot was certainly an illustration of a man who somehow lost his way by his surroundings. Became a little bit lukewarm. Israel in Judges, the 4th chapter and verse 1. The Bible says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. It seemed like it, well, you're very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, and you know how they failed and then they revived and then they failed and they revived. It was just an up and down experience for the nation of Israel. Why? because they lived among the heathen. And some of them married strange wives. And some of them said, we want to have idols like our neighbors. You see the process of apostasy and the process of getting lukewarm, cold, and indifferent. Peter is another example of someone who followed afar off. As Jesus was facing his trial, the Bible says he followed afar off. And he wasn't so excited about being a disciple of Jesus Christ there for a while. And in fact, he eventually denied the Lord Jesus three times. See that process? Process. It's like a disease. Five of the 10 virgins who took oil in their lamps, but they didn't take enough oil in their lamps. You see what happened there? Ach, I don't know why it's important. All these rules and all these extra oil and et cetera, et cetera. What's a big issue anyway? And then, of course, where we've got to talk a little bit about where you thought I would take this message tonight, the Laodicean church, who said, we have everything we need. We've got goods laid up. We've got everything we need to take care of ourselves. And Jesus said, you don't even know that you're blind and miserable and naked. But the Laodicean church wasn't like that young boy who said, I'm a Christian and I want to find out. I want to tell everybody that last night I became a Christian and find out if everybody else is. They weren't like that. They left their first love. Over a process of time, they had left that first love. And Jesus told them they need to repent. Thirdly tonight, I'd like to share with you some very practical pointers that may indicate that I have gotten lukewarm. Very practical pointers that may indicate that I have become lukewarm, or we have become lukewarm. Letter A, when we don't want to be saved from our sins, we just want to be saved from the penalty of our sins. Now you think about that. I could illustrate it like this. Some people would say, I have a problem with anger. My father had a problem with anger. My grandfather had a problem with anger. So just, Lord, have mercy on us. We can't help ourselves. Desiring to be saved from the penalty of sins rather than our sins themselves. When you and I come across that way, friends, it reveals a problem in our heart. That we want to get to heaven with a little bit of sin in our life, and it won't work. It won't work. That's not what the Bible teaches. Rather than repenting and asking the Lord for deliverance from this horrible sin. Brother Art read about that. Put away anger, didn't you? In the devotional meditation, I believe God had all that devotional meditation planned. May I repeat, when we don't want to be saved from our sins, just saved from the penalty of our sins. Letter B. When we have a loss of desire to commune with God. You see, when we get to be like the Laodicean church, we don't need anything. And so in the morning when we wake up, we don't even say, good morning, Lord. We have what we need for today, and we don't even pray, Lord, give me my daily bread. And we don't even pray, Lord, help me. I need your help today, Lord. If I want to live for you, your Spirit's going to have to inspire me. It's going to have to strengthen me. It's going to have to settle me. It's going to have to keep me from evil. You know what I'm talking about? A man who is on fire for God is dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And an individual who's lukewarm, he just goes about his daily activities. He he can handle all this himself, you know. He doesn't need God. I want to tell us this evening, every one of us needs God. The Bible says in him we live, we move, we have our being. The Bible says without him we can do. A little louder, please. Thank you, brethren. Without him we can do nothing. Why do we try it so often then? Because we've gotten a little bit like the Egyptians around us. We think we can handle it ourselves. After all, I've been born again so many years. I've been living for Jesus so many years. I have it all together. No, we don't. We need Jesus, friends. Letter C. When we live by what feels good now, is it an outward indication that we are ready or on the wrong track? When we live by what feels good now. Making mortar without tempering it, the Bible talks about the lazy man's way. Living by what feels good now. Letter D. When we compare ourselves with the secular world, maybe an indication that we are already not hot. Neither cold, but lukewarm. When we compare ourselves with the secular world. Letter E, when we consider their partially sanctified lives, we consider that to be holy. After all, our neighbors go to church every Sunday, so they must be living a holy life. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And when you and I come across that way, we can excuse our sins, which the Bible calls sins. We excuse them, and we say, well, we're pretty holy. We're pretty holy. I mean, we wash one another's feet. We greet each other with a holy kiss. We partake of communion. We come to church every time, every Sunday, and every time we have church. We're pretty holy. Oh, really? Our own holiness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. But Jesus makes people holy when people are in him. Did you catch that? Are you in him tonight? Are you in him? Or do you have him somehow as a halo over all your activities? You know, I've often said it like this. We are to be helpers to the Holy Spirit. But too often we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Do you catch that difference? You see, when we are helpers to the Holy Spirit, we're employed by Jesus Christ. But when we ask the Holy Spirit to be our helper, it's kinosphatos. You know what that means? It's backwards. It's not like it ought to be. Letter F. When we pick and choose what commandments we want to obey, it's an indication we are lukewarm. Some of the commandments don't apply for us today. They were written for Corinth, or we come across like that. It's an indication there's something wrong when the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us today. Letter G, when we attend church but the preaching of the Word never changes anything in our lives. Wow. Let me repeat that one. We attend church, but the preaching of the Word never changes anything in our lives. The sign that we are lukewarm and the Word of God doesn't even faze us anymore. We used to have a next-door neighbor, a lady. She wasn't a Mennonite. We did some work in her home numerous times over the years. And she told me one time, she said, Elvin, I just... covet your way of life and your faith, although she's a professing Christian. I covet your way of life, but I'm just not willing to pay the price. She said, there's a group of us ladies in our church that we get together on a weekly basis for Bible study. And I was shocked recently to hear that after her husband died, she met a man from a neighboring state and went and moved in with him unmarried. We say, well, that's really far. We don't have those problems. But you know why, how she got to that place? Her Bible study didn't penetrate her practical everyday living. Yeah, they read the Bible. They studied the Bible. But it didn't change their way of life. So I asked you about brothers and sisters here at Great Lakes. Can you look recently at one of your brethren's messages that they felt called of God to deliver to you, and how it changed something in your life? Or does it just fall off our shoulders and it never changes anything? Letter H. When we delve into opinionated mode, I've heard this too often recently. When ministry were sharing concerns with an individual about some trends in their own life or a little bit of straying from what's accepted practice in the church, and they say, well, that's just your opinion. What they're really saying is, it's my opinion that it's your opinion. That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. My opinion is that it's just your opinion. Rather than allowing brotherly advice, brotherly counsel, spirit-directed brotherly counsel that is based on the Word of God to make an impact on their life. You know what? We're going to lose out, brothers and sisters. We're going to lose out as a church if we take that route and say, well, that's just your opinion. Indication already that something is wrong in our heart. I don't know that any of you have ever said that to your ministry, but I know it's happening in our churches. Letter I, think about life on earth more than heaven and eternity. When we are consumed with life on this planet and we never talk about heaven, we never talk about eternity, it's an indication that something is wrong with our priorities. Let me illustrate. Young father, some years ago, was killed in an automobile accident instantly. Had a little son who cried and cried and cried. His mother said, son, don't just cry your heart out. We all miss daddy, but daddy went to heaven. He's in a much better place now than he ever was before. He's with Jesus. The little boy said, mom, I don't believe that. Whenever daddy was preparing to go on a trip, he would talk about it to us as a family. He would tell us where he needs to go and what he's going to be doing, where he's going and how long he would be gone and when he's coming back. And I never heard daddy say anything ever about going to heaven. Children be able to say that, fathers? Would they be able to say that they never heard you talk about wanting to go to heaven and what God has in store over yonder? May I repeat, when all we can think about is life on this earth and heaven and eternity are void of our vocabulary and our thinking, it's an indication we're lukewarm. We're lukewarm. Letter J. When we love our personal luxury and seldom share or give in a sacrificial way. Do you know what it's like to give until it hurts? Jesus did. And we're supposed to be little Christ, giving until it hurts. I'm concerned about what's happening in our Anabaptist churches, brothers and sisters. We are raising a generation of ministers who are not willing to sacrifice for the kingdom like they should. And I'm afraid where that's going to take us. Soon we'll have congregations of people who aren't willing to sacrifice for the kingdom's sake. And may I remind us, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on sacrifice. If I wouldn't be trying to practice that in my own life, I would have never agreed to come out here and preach for you this weekend. But there's a call. There's kingdom work. The other stuff is secondary. It better be. It better be. Letter K. Church functions become secondary. Prayer meeting can be skipped, no problem. Sunday evening service, no problem. And don't you ask me to have a prayer meeting topic. Don't you ask me to lead the singing. Don't you ever expect me to give a testimony on a Sunday morning when opportunity is given. When church life becomes secondary to other things, church functions become secondary to other things, an outward indication that we've grown lukewarm and I'm afraid indifferent. Letter L, closely related, when the offering is collected, and it's the leftovers that are put in the basket. Letter M. When we seldom or never talk to others about Jesus, about the Bible, about eternity, and about judgment. Seldom, if ever. We're not very good missionaries. You know why? Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will do it, Jesus says. Are we clay in his hands? Oh, we're from Germany. We're bashful. No, Hitler wasn't very bashful, was he? Oh, may the Spirit of God move us. He will do that if we say in the morning, Lord, I need you. I really need you today, Lord. I'm afraid I don't have the courage to say what you want me to say, Lord. Would your Spirit move me? Would your Spirit fill me? Lord, I'm yours, but I need your help so desperately. Will you help me? He will do it. He will do it if we ask him to do it for us. Seldom or never talk to others about Jesus, the Bible, eternity, and judgment. Fourthly, tonight, the peril. Now we're getting to our message. I think your program says the perils. I have in my title the peril, singular. But let's look at it like this. Let's go back to the group of people we talked about in the beginning of our message tonight. Miraz was cursed by Jesus. That's a pretty big peril, isn't it? And as we said in the beginning, it's possible that Jesus may curse us as well because we just didn't put ourselves into the kingdom work. We build castles here on earth, but not much for the kingdom. I will never forget it, an aged man in our, when I was a teenager. This is a story from when I was a teenager. He was in the lot. He was a faithful man. And as far as I thought, he appeared to be a faithful man. All of his children to this day are in the conservative Anabaptist church. He did something right. what he said on his deathbed when he could hardly talk. If only I would have put more energy into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. God punished Nadab and Abihu with death, the peril of lukewarmness. Lot lost his wife and family and possession, all that he had, because of his indifference and coldness. Israel was led into captivity, divorced by God the Father, dispersed into the four corners of the earth. No longer a nation, and the Holy Land was called Elio Capitolino, no more Israel. What God did to Israel for their coldness, indifference, and disobedience. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Five virgins missed the marriage. The Laodicean church was told by Jesus, because you become lukewarm and indifferent, I will spew you out of my mouth unless you repent. You're wretched, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Little boy once asked his daddy one time, he said, Daddy, how come the chickens get so alive when their heads are chopped off? And the father thought for a little bit, and then he said these words. He said, because the chickens are dead and they don't know it. Sometimes that's the way Christians are. A lot of activity, that's the other side of the coin. A lot of charismatic activity, but they don't know, they don't have the life. In conclusion this evening, the answer for lukewarmness. And let's turn in our Bibles to Jesus' letter to the Laodicean church, Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3, verse 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I counsel thee, buy gold of me, Jesus says. Gold that is tried in the fire. Be zealous. You know, if you want to have a glass of hot water and you want to keep it hot, you've got to do one thing. You've got to keep it on the fire. And so it is in the Christian life. If you don't want to become cold and indifferent, you've got to stay close to the fire. That's why I stress fervently tonight. In the morning, cry out to God, I need you today. I need you. Fill me. Inspire me. Direct me. Guide me. Restrain me. Oh, yes. We need the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in this immoral world in which we live today. Cry out to God regularly. Remember, without Him, we can do nothing. Now, it just dawned on me, and there's something else I should share this evening. The peril of lukewarmness. I talked about the bishops and parents, but I'd like to challenge our young people tonight as well to stay close to the fire, to love the Lord with all your heart, and remember, you can't do anything without Him. Too often I have seen young people accept the Lord Jesus Christ, experience conversion without a doubt, having guilt taken off their countenance and the joy of the Lord radiating on their faces. Going through instruction class and you can just see them grow and grow in their life, in their Christian life. And then after baptism, sometimes there's this cooling off. And after a while, the church leaders need to talk to them about this area or that area in their life. And sad to say, sometimes we need to excommunicate them. Young folks, seek the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You'll never get anywhere in life without Jesus. Let Him be your Lord. Let Him be your Master. He certainly has been your Savior. Verse 19, repent. That means to think differently, to act differently, to speak differently. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creature, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now you live living that new life. No matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years, are you still living that new life and you're enjoying it? You're running ahead of myself. We'll touch on that tomorrow morning, Lord willing. God bless you. God keep you. And if there's anybody here tonight who's gotten a little careless in their Christian life, a little bit of indifference, starting the day and going throughout the day, forgetting completely that we need Jesus, may you repent. To go back to Him. Tell Him you're sorry for walking your own way. Ask Him for grace and strength and commitment to make a change in your life, to go on and live, staying close to the fire. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, which art in heaven, I thank you for the many stories in the Bible of people who were faithful to you and some people who somehow got misguided and somehow got off the wrong track, and you had to deal with them sometimes bitterly, sometimes even with death, with many sorrows that they brought upon themselves. I pray that you would help us in this year of our Lord 2025 to live for Jesus full throttle. The time is short. The night cometh when no man can work. There's so many souls that need encouragement to be faithful, and so few people who are willing to do it. I pray that you would revive your church in these last days. For Jesus is coming for a church that is in tune and step with the Lord Jesus Christ, being governed by the Holy Spirit and living a life of obedience to the Word of God. Oh God, we want to be part of those five virgins that make it. Help us in our journey. And help us, oh God, to repent when we stray from the left or the right. And I pray that you would help us to be found faithful at the sounding of the trumpet. Give us a good night's rest tonight. Help us to remember tomorrow that Jesus was victor over sin, hell, and the grave. And rejoice in that great truth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.